Kenneth and I went to see the second movie of the life of Louis Zambini. He ran in the 36 Olympics, and I highly, highly recommend it. This one emphasized his salvation, and in Acts, we're studying on Wednesday night. What's interesting is that you study the Bible, and there's just not that many stories on conversion stories. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed, Abraham, David, Moses, Jeremiah, Daniel, to talk about their salvation, their conversion stories. But in Acts, chapters 9 and 10, we're going to study three conversion stories, and Saul of Tarsus will be one of them. But this movie portrays how he came home. He was 47 days in a draft in the ocean on a raft, and picked up by Japanese, and then went to the POW camp, and highly mistreated by a prison guard, got the name of Eagle, and then came home, met a beautiful, wonderful woman, and married. They married, and his life just tumbled down from there, and he became an alcoholic, abusive to her, and Billy Graham was speaking in Los Angeles. And they have a Billy Graham sign there and all. And the, the old tent meeting. And Billy Graham's grandson plays Billy Graham in the movie. And so he finally went. And I won't tell you the whole story, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful story of his conversion. Yes. Louis Zampini. His name is Zamperini. Unbroken. And it is a...
It's probably one of the best movies I've seen. I've seen quite a few good faith-based movies.
And I highly, highly, highly recommend it to anyone, believer or unbeliever. And... But his conversion story is, I just thought, was well done, and for a Hollywood production, and so I highly recommend you see Unbroken, and until it goes off out of the circuit. No, they don't. Nope. So, okay, let's open the Word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I enjoyed one part that was interesting. To me, being a pastor, Lewis is struggling. He's under conviction. He walked out of one of the revival meetings, and then he went back to another one. And he was, you could tell he was just wrestling. And he got to the door, and Billy Graham's, I don't know, I doubt this happened in real life, but I love the line. Billy Graham said, "You can walk out in the middle of my sermon, but not now." And he just stopped. And right at the door. And he just, that I think that's when he became a believer at that door. And came back in, and it's really traumatic. So it's well worth your time and money. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer. Test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the most essential aspect for the born-again believer from your word is love. That we love as your Son loved. Completely impossible in the flesh. But you have graciously supplied us with your Holy Spirit. And it is through by faith in your Spirit that we can now love as Christ loved. I pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see in 1 Corinthians 13:3 this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. And if I give all my possessions, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So we left off last week, so let's begin with some, now there'll be introductory points. Last Sunday there would have been conclusion. This morning they're introductory to our study. One, giving, whether it's money or your life, with the force of spiritual love, which is the love that Christ loved you, when you give under the force of the spiritual love, we are benefited by our concentration on Christ's love for us, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, I said a whole lot there, so let me repeat it. Giving with the force of spiritual love, which is the love that Christ loved you. So when we give money or life under the force of spiritual love, we are benefited by our concentration on Christ's love for us, empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Point two. When our giving is alchemized, giving money, giving your life, alchemized, A-L-C-H-E-M-I-Z-E-D, by spiritual love, turns your giving into something precious and valuable in the spiritual warfare. This means you're drawing attention not to yourself, but to Jesus Christ, His love, and how He loves. Christ is glorified by your giving when your giving is in the power of the Spirit. Let's look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25, let's begin reading in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and came to you?" The king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, in the extent that you did it to one of these brothers," believers, did it to another believer, the least of them, "you did it to me." So, your giving, when it's in the Spirit, giving and led by the Holy Spirit, it glorifies Jesus Christ. Therefore, 4.3. Giving, motivated by spiritual love, is the imitation of Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. If I sacrifice my life, be burned. You're imitating Christ, who gave His life for us. We were spiritually poor, and He was giving His life for us, motivated by His own love given to us. And remember, His love came to Him from God the Holy Spirit. That's why we can imitate it. Remember, if His love comes from His deity, we can't do it. If His love comes from His perfect humanity, we can't do it. If His love comes from the filling of the Spirit, we can do that because we have the Holy Spirit. And finally, part four, any giving you do to the poor, to the pastor-teacher, to the evangelist, missionary, church, and so on, in spiritual love, is not giving to earn from God or to draw attention to self, or to relieve any guilt. It is giving motivated by spiritual love. When you give, trusting the Holy Spirit. A lot of people give out of guilt. They have various types of guilt. Society puts a guilt on them that they have too much money or so much and all of that. And that's why they give. I say this in humor, but there's some truth to it. Any wise wife knows you can always get something when your husband's under some kind of guilt. And that's when you get a new car or whatever it is you want. See? But if we give under the filling of the Spirit, it glorifies Christ. As important as giving is, and as a characteristic of Christianity as giving is, Paul now goes to the ultimate. Giving or sacrificing of one's own life for the spiritual benefit of another. Indeed, what could be more Christ-like than to sacrifice your life for the spiritual benefit of someone else? What could be more Christ-like than that? 1 Corinthians 13:3, if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Jesus Christ used this as a great illustration of the magnitude of love. No greater love hath any man than this, that he will lay down his life for his friends. Note carefully the word greater. No greater love. This refers to the magnitude of love. Love is a spiritual force as magnitude, and the greater refers to the magnitude of love. This is what Jesus Christ did for us. This is the magnitude of the love of Jesus Christ for us. This is the love wherewith He has loved us. This is the love that we are to duplicate every day in our lives. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, the offering of your life is a one-time deal. But we are to do that on a daily basis with things, our time, money, these kind of things, showing that this circumstance is more important than us. Now, not everyone who lays down his life is motivated by spiritual love. Maybe motivated by love, but not necessarily spiritual love. Love that comes from the flesh. Love for the other person. Love for a nation. But without spiritual love, such extreme sacrifice profits nothing before God. Continuing 1 Corinthians 13:3, and used to introduce the ultimate example of production. Because he's talked about the language in verses 1, he talked about faith in verse 2. Now, and, so it introduces the ultimate example of production. What Christians can do under certain circumstances. Some of us will go our whole lives and never be in a position for the ultimate sacrifice. We got an important study this Wednesday night, and sometimes when I'm going through it, I regret that we're going to do a chapter a night. Because I need to spend time on the ordinary believer. Just day in and day out. That is the most difficult life. There's no fanfare. There's no hoopla. It's boring. And it has all kinds of silly little problems in it. That's the life that Christ uses. That's the life that saved Paul. That's the life that is important. So, a lot of us will not have the circumstance to give our life for someone else. Or to give our life for our faith. I hope we don't have to in America. But let me tell you something. We give our life on a daily basis by prayer, attendance in Bible study, serving Christ, and loving as Christ loved. So this is the great issue that we're looking at. Even the great sacrifice of giving your life without spiritual love is of no spiritual profit. No benefit to the believer whatsoever. Understand what I just said. No spiritual benefit to you. We're talking about you. The one who is freed by your act is another story. But then we're not talking about him. This passage is talking about you. Remember, we already saw that Christianity emphasizes the giver, not the one who receives. The condition of the giver. So that becomes a great issue. And here it is with sacrificing your life. The emphasis in 1 Corinthians 13 is not what happens to the person you're giving your life for. Do they believe in Christ? Do they go on to believe in Christ? Do they go on to serve Christ? What happens? That's not the point. The point is you and your sacrifice. What we're dealing with is you, the one who does the sacrificing. Again, all through this study, we have seen what separates Christianity from religion. Religion bolsters the one who gives in dealing with that he gave money to help some of the poor, emphasizing the one he gives it to. But it is Christianity that emphasizes the condition of the giver, the operation of spiritual gifts, speaking in languages, knowledge of all mysteries, faith so as to remove insurmountable objects. All of these need to be alchemized, transformed by the force of spiritual love. All our overt activities and mental, if I know all doctrine, and mental are empty without spiritual love. I read an interesting quote this week. I can't remember the man's name. He's buried not far from here. And he said something to the effect that men love knowledge, even the knowledge of the Bible, but it is prayer that demonstrates their love for God. And it's very powerful saying. I'll get it more correct later on. But it's any of these spiritual gifts that we have are of no use if not alchemized by spiritual love. They're empty without spiritual love to convert something in your life, something valuable, at the judgment seat of Christ for all eternity, time and eternity. Empty without spiritual love. They do not stand alone as acts in themselves. No act that you can do stands alone. It has to be transformed by spiritual love. And if, maybe I will, maybe I won't, that's not the point, I surrender. The Greek word means to deliver over, deliver up to the power of someone else. Next we have the all-important Greek conjunction henna, H-I-N-A. Very important. Henna is used to denote purpose, aim, goal, result. Here it means it emphasizes result. Result to perish, to be burned. If I surrender with the ideal, if I surrender for the purpose that my life be burned, principle, he would voluntarily deliver his own body over to be burned to demonstrate that he's willing to die a painful death for God, for someone. But Paul is pointing out that even this extreme and final sacrifice of your life is of no value without spiritual love. No value whatsoever. Notice what it does not say. You got to observe what it does not say. If First thing you learn about studying the Bible, observe what it says. This does not say why he delivered his body to be burned. It does not say for someone else, but simply die. See? He may die for the Savior. He may die for someone else. He may die for Jesus Christ. Whatever it is. See? He may die. Throughout history of the church, multitudes have died a martyr's death for their faith. One of my things I like to do the first thing of every morning, go through the day in history. There's hardly a day that somewhere in history people have not been martyred for their faith. Because they believe something. And what is so interesting, like today, there was someone martyred. And you know why they were martyred? Because they didn't believe in transubstantiation. They were killed because they didn't believe that. So, it just is amazing how and why some people are martyred through life. But people, as difficult as this may be for some of you, this is of no value before God without spiritual love, without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Why do you think He gave us the Holy Spirit, if not to do things in His power? So let me go through a couple. John Wycliffe, W-Y-C-L-I-F-F-E, Wycliffe. During the 14th century, it's a long time ago, one man worked to make the Bible available in English as part of the Reformation. John Wycliffe translated the Bible from Latin to English. Luther translated it into common German. Wycliffe into English. See? Against Rome's wishes, the Roman Catholic Church accused the theologian, John Wycliffe, of being vulgar and persecuted him relentlessly. After he died, this is so cool, his accusers were still afraid of him. They returned to Wycliffe's burial site to burn his body. He told his enemies, "You say it is heresy to speak of the Holy Scriptures in English. You call me a heretic because I have translated the Bible into the common tongue of the people. Do you not know whom you blaspheme? Did not the Holy Ghost give the Word of God at first in the mother tongue of the nations of whom it was addressed? Why do you speak against the Holy Ghost?" They used to call him the Holy Ghost. "The Holy Ghost. You say that the Church of God is in danger from this book. How can this be?" I'll give you another one. Lieutenants George Fox, Alexander Good, John Washington, and Clark Poling were chaplains of varying faiths stationed aboard a troop transport ship, the Dorchester. You can look this up. When the ship was struck by a submarine's torpedo, the four chaplains quickly rallied together and began handing out life jackets and directing people to safety. When the life jackets ran out, they selflessly gave away their own life jackets. When the ship went down, the four men linked arms and began singing. It's hard to say how many lives these men actually saved. Suffice it to say, it was enough. Listen to this. This is written in Google. Suffice it to say, it was enough to get into heaven and then some. Sorry. Don't get any credit at all if you're not filled with the Spirit. Don't get into heaven without faith in Christ. You don't get any credit if there's no Holy Spirit. Let me give you another one. A devoted father sacrificed his life to save his disabled son when a car careered toward them as they walked together. George Tyson, T-Y-S-O-N, 61 years of age, pushed Gary out of the path of the oncoming car, but took the full impact himself. He was killed almost instantly. His 32-year-old son was airlifted to hospital and later discharged after being treated for minor injuries and shock. Last night, Mr. Tyson's distraught daughter or family praised him for making the ultimate heroic sacrifice which saved the life of his son. Melon Tyson, his daughter, said, "My dad's life was cruelly taken away from him, although through various witness statements, the story is blessed with his selfless act of saving the life of my own brother. We as a family are still in shock, but realize that my dad's quick action saved it from being an even bigger tragedy." Mr. Tyson, a carpenter from Ulferson, Cumbria, was devoted to his son, who was left with learning difficulties after suffering brain damage in a fall when he was 18 months. His daughter said, "Most people of Ulferson well know him through the care and help he has shown my brother. And most people have some at some point seen them pacing through the town at their various missions. Gary," that's the father, "Gary was inseparable of the son from his father, and the huge amount of time, care, and patience my dad showed will be hugely missed. The pair were often seen together, regularly went out on long walks. It was as they took a bracing stroll along a coastal road near the village in Cumbria on Sunday afternoon that the tragedy occurred. At about 4 p.m., they were at the road junction when at the last second, Mr. Tyson spotted a Corsa car hurling towards them and managed to push his son out of the way. His daughter said, "My dad died doing the thing he loved the most. He was walking with my brother Gary down the coast road. My dad was a loyal member of the town who cared a great deal for people over his life in the wonderful town he lived. He was, for a long time, heavily involved in the community and had a large part to play in various projects to bring us all together. And more importantly, help the kids get the most out of living in this beautiful town. Was he filled with the Spirit? Don't know. Was he even a believer? Don't know. But as wonderful as this story is, if he is not a believer, it's of no credit at all. If he is a believer not filled with the Spirit, it's of no profit at all. We talk about the profit of human praise, but what is that compared to godly praise? Not to be compared. I like this one. In 1941, Maximilian Kolb, K-O-L-B-E, volunteered to die in place of a stranger in the German death camp of Auschwitz, August 1941. The Bible is filled with people who gave their lives for their faith. The first martyr in the Bible, who was the first martyr? Abel. Abel was the first martyr in the Bible. Zechariah was a martyr, Matthew 23:35. John the Baptist in the age of Israel. Stephen, the first martyr of the church. And we'll be studying on Wednesday night, James, martyred by Herod. So, all of these are precious. Look at Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. Let's read verses 12 and 13. And to the angel of the church of Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. So there's a martyr praised by Jesus Christ himself. And of course, coming up in history, Revelation 11. Revelation 11, the martyrdom of the two witnesses in Jerusalem. Verse 7. Revelation 11, verse 7. When they have finished their testimony, the beast, Satan, comes up out of the abyss, will make war with them, and overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will be in the streets of the great city, Jerusalem, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. So they will be martyred by Satan himself. So these are just some of the stories that deal with martyrdom. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13:3. And if I give all my possessions, and if I surrender my body, next in the Greek we have the conjunction henna. This conjunction is rich again. Result. Result is the prominent purpose, is secondary. Result, to perish. Give my body to perish. That's the result. Subjective. Purpose, to be a martyr. That's the objective. But the result here is prominent. Purpose is in the background of the motivation to be martyred, to die. To be burned. Principle. He would voluntarily deliver his own body over to be burned to demonstrate that he was willing to die even a painful death. That's why burning is emphasized as painful death for someone, even for God. But I want you to notice, Paul points out that without spiritual love, even this extreme and final sacrifice of your own life has no spiritual value without spiritual love. Someone may protest, how can you say this? They gave their lives for others. They gave so others could hear the gospel. How could you say this is of no profit? People, it's no profit to them. No profit spiritually to them. Many by dying in the manner may profit others. The one who died in someone's place in Auschwitz, I'm sure he died later, but at that moment he didn't die. It was a profit to him. But as to whether or not it was a profit, spiritual profit to the one who gave his life for him in Auschwitz, only God knows. Only God knows. So people, if you do something, be sure you do it in the power of the Spirit of God. This is the ultimate sacrifice, but never makes up for the want of love. It's the ultimate sacrifice, but it does not make up for the want of spiritual love. The want of spiritual love is the great issue in the angelic conflict. The cross shouts this. The want of spiritual love is our salvation. For God, in this manner, loved the world, that he gave his only Son. So love is the center of the great issue. And if we do wonderful acts, but do not have that same love, it's of no value. No value whatsoever. It must be empowered by spiritual love. Paul points out that without spiritual love, even the extreme and final sacrifice of your own life is of no spiritual profit. without spiritual love. Let's look at Peter, John 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13. I'm glad Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts, because boy, it sure gets Peter off the hook. Because Peter was always blowing it. I mean, you talk about somebody putting their foot in his mouth, he did it all the time. Every now and then he did shine. Every now and then. Like Christ said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you're the Son of God. Where would we go if you didn't have you? But most of the time, he put his foot in his mouth. Let's look at John 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me. Speaking about his death, burial, resurrection, ascension. But you will follow me later, at your own death in the church age. Verse 37. Peter argues with the Lord now, and does as the church does today. Peter claims that he loves the Lord so much, he will sacrifice his own life for the Lord. But in truth, Peter does not love the Lord. Peter cannot love the Lord. Peter does not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit yet. Verse 37. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Verse 38. Jesus answered, will you? Will you do that, Peter? Will you lay down your life for me? Let me tell you the truth, Peter. I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Three times. With that in mind, let's look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written. Oh, by the way, this came right after the motivation of singing. You know what singing does, boy, it gets you all stirred up. Verse 30. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I mean, they're pumped. So, verse 31, Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will scatter. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Okay, but old Peter, look at Peter, said to him, even though all may fall away, even though these other clowns will desert you, Lord, not me, I love you, because of you, I will never fall away. I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that this very night, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me three times. Let's look at Mark. Mark chapter 14. So important is this event, it's recorded over and over. Mark 14, verse 26. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, the crucifixion, and the sheep will be scattered all directions. But after I have been raised, he promises his own resurrection, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But old Peter said to him, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. I can only imagine how the other disciples standing there heard Peter say this. What are you talking about, you dummy? See? Verse 30. And Jesus said to him, let me tell you the truth, Peter, that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times. But Peter kept insisting, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they were all saying the same thing. Well, of course, they have to. We can't let him say that. We can't. So will I. I'll die for you. You can just hear John, Andrew, James, all of them. Boy, they got to get into the show. You'd be surprised how many Christians today would argue with the Lord, oh, I love you. But in truth, they do not love him with the love that he's looking for. They do not love him with a love that will carry them through the battle. Not with spiritual love from the Holy Spirit. See? So you got to ask yourself, do you know how to be filled with the Spirit? Now, let's go to Luke. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. But I have prayed for you, Peter. Well, let's go back a little bit so you get an idea of what's going on. Verse 28. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will all sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon Peter, behold, picks him out. Simon Peter, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. We studied this some time ago. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. But he said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said to him, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you even know me, much less that you will die for me. Now look at verse 54. Same chapter, 54. Having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. See what? Let me explain something to you here. We've seen this before. Satan orchestrates circumstances for you to deny your faith, for you to fail, for you to sin. He orchestrates them. There's nothing bad here. What's bad? It's cold. There's a fire. We would all want to go over and warm our hands. This isn't some beer joint or some wild woman. This is just a normal circumstance of life that gets us caught in life. So let's take a look. Verse 55. And after they had kindled in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, just a servant girl, said to him, as he sat in the firelight and looked intently at him, said, this man was with him also. Now look what he said. He denied it. See, what they were getting ready to do, string him up. They're getting ready to crucify Jesus. Here's one, let's string him up too. Peter knows that. He's not willing to die. Look, he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. People, if you could lose your salvation at denial, Peter would have lost it here, but he didn't. He did not lose his salvation. Verse 58. A little later, another saw him and said, you are one of them too. Peter said, man, I am not. After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too. Verse 60, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. Now, let me just tell you right now, in the Greek, he uses profanity. I blankety-blank don't know what you're talking about. I blankety-blank don't know this man. Very clear. Immediately, while he was speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, main thing we're here for, you can say you give your life, but people, you've got to have spiritual love. Peter will have that opportunity. Peter will die for the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. But all this great talk of love and the showdown is the real issue. And that love has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the great issue. On the record of the study, this is why I believe the first person Jesus sought after his resurrection was Peter on the road. Not the first person to see the Lord, but the first person the Lord sought was Peter. And I think it was because of this. And I doubt we'll ever know that conversation, even in heaven. But I'm sure the Lord restored Peter his courage, let him know, you're still mine, Peter. I understand. Now, go strengthen your brothers. Do your job. So, this is the great issue. Peter had three opportunities to die for him, to express that great love that he boasted of, but he could not do it. Once Peter received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, walks by faith in the Holy Spirit, he will love the Lord, and he will deliver the first two sermons of the church age. Great sermons. Acts chapters 2 and 3. Great sermons. And then does other great things in the church, beginning of the church. So, he will restore. Love from the Holy Spirit makes all the difference. That makes a difference to Peter. That makes a difference to us. Love in the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, makes a difference. All our sufferings in life, and I'm sure every one of you have suffered in some degree or another, are of no spiritual value without spiritual love, without the filling of the Spirit. You may have suffered, but to gain spiritual value from it requires the filling of the Holy Spirit. So if you desire your current or future sufferings to have spiritual profit for you in time and eternity, the judgment seat of Christ, suffer in the power of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, will make that suffering peaceful and bearable. So not only will suffering in the power of the Holy Spirit make it profitable in eternity, the judgment seat of Christ, it will make it bearable and peaceable in time. Philippians 1:29. Look at Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His benefit. We can suffer for sins. We can suffer for righteousness. Just because you suffer does not mean that you're suffering for the glory of Christ. Many people suffer because of sins. This is talking about suffering for righteousness. There are two things that people like to talk about. What they have accomplished in life, their works. What they have suffered. How they overcame their suffering. I love the movie I was just telling you about, Unbroken. Because what he will do, he will form some boys clubs to introduce. It's really for juvenile delinquents. I don't know if they use that term anymore today, but young kids, delinquents who've just, juveniles have gone bad. and he wanted to bring them to Christ. But he would tell them his story and talk to them about things that had happened to him. But people, without the Holy Spirit, that's of no value. So there is suffering due to sin. There is suffering due to righteousness. There is only one way to get this love. That's by faith in the Holy Spirit. Then he says to be burned. This introduces the ultimate example of sacrifice. And the reason burned is used because of its painful. It's one of the most painful deaths there is. See? So even if I live my life to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So this sets us up next Sunday morning for the study on spiritual love, and that's where we'll begin next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. We do not know, Heavenly Father, what even this day will bring, what may be demanded of us this day or tomorrow. But Heavenly Father, we pray that whatever is demanded, we'll meet it bravely with the power of your Spirit, depending on Him to give us the words, the stamina, the perseverance to suffer for the benefit of our Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen.